November 28th and the 20th of November 2018. We hope the ministerial task team will give us concrete details of the work done since our last meeting in November. Our aim is at the end of this meeting we have achieved what we have been working on in taking the fence, cabinet, and this committee. Honourable members, let us listen critically and engage constructively after the presentation from the ministerial task team. Thank you very much. You are all welcome. Please, in a vote, let's make this meeting our meeting so that at the end we all achieve the objective of this meeting. Thank you very much. We will then move on to item number 2, which is apologies. Are there any apologies?
Good morning, Chairperson. For today, we receive apologies from Mr. Martins, who is in a family emergency. Mr. Paulson is out of the province on operational duty, and Ms. Shopeshitoya is also. Thank you.
Okay, these are the apologies from the committee. I would like to ask from the DG, from the defense, if there are any apologies from your side? The underlying message here is that there's an apology for both Honourable Minister of Defence and Honourable Minister of Public Works, because there is a cabinet sitting, and we all understand they cannot recuse themselves from the cabinet meeting at this moment, as they have correctly delegated their duty to be here. Thank you very much. And any other apology, maybe from a public way? Honourable members, is there any proposal for adoption? For acceptance of the minutes? Do we accept the not minutes? No. My mind is all over now. Sorry. Do we accept the apology? Honourable Member Nkwanyane? Any second? Honourable Member McLaughlin. Thank you very much. I couldn't skip this part because it is a procedural event. So thank you very much. Alright, shall we then move on to the next item, which is item number 3, joint presentation by the SANDF, National Treasury, and the Department of Public Works. Now I will hand over to the Department of SANDF. You will tell us, because remember we have this joint committee. I don't know exactly who to call now. Who is the lead person in this committee?
Thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable members of the committee. First, I would like us to introduce the delegation that is here. I will have the delegation from defense, the delegation of works, and the delegation of the national treasurer. But otherwise, we've been working as a team, jointly chaired by DG, my name is Sam Gulube. I'm the secretary for defense.
Thank you. I'm Lieutenant General Jabumbuli, Chief of Logistics of the National Defense. Honorable Chairperson, thank you very much. I am Major General Lidwaba. I'm the General Officer Commanding Defense Transformation working under Chief Lesotho.
Okay, are we done? Okay, thank you very much. Thank you very much, the CLO here, so the Minister is happy here. Okay, the passion is here. Yeah, I'm sure you're doing this passion. Yeah, okay. So we're done with defense, all right? So we then hand over to DG from Public Works.
Good morning, Chair, honorable members and colleagues. I'm Sam Kutela, the DG of Public Works, and with my colleague who are going to introduce themselves.
Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Daya Galinda. I'm the divisional head here of State 90.
Thank you very much.
Good morning, Chairperson, and everybody. My name is Basma Sabangwan, Chief Director responsible for construction.
Okay, thank you very much.
Good morning, Chair. My name is Jacob Maroga. I'm the acting head of the property management trading entity in the Department of Agriculture.
Thank you.
Good morning, Chair. I'm from Southern Mali and the media rights officer of the Office of Tourism.
Okay, thank you very much.
Good morning, Chair. I'm George Mugumena, the Chief of Staff of the Minister of Public Works.
Professor, I didn't hear you. Just raise your voice. It's like
I'm George Mugumena. The Chairperson is very good. I'm George Mugumena.
Yes.
The Chief of Staff in the Office of Tourism.
Okay, thank you very much.
Good morning, I'm Sam Gregory. I'm in the office in Bloemfontein for Public Works.
Bloemfontein Public Works is here, thank you very much. And you were with us when we did the site of the
I was not there, I'm not the office.
But you got a good chip of the profile, complete report.
Yes, indeed. I was here on the video.
Okay. All right, now that we've started with introductions, I would like everybody to introduce himself now. Eh? Okay, here.
Good morning, Chairperson, honorable members. My name is Raymond Nadu. I'm the acting deputy director of the
supply chain management.
Good morning, Chair.
For construction. Okay? Alright. So Public Works, we're done, yes?
No, I'm still here. Good morning, Chair, honorable members. My name is Tando. My full name is Obaba, Ministry of Public Works. Thanks very much.
What are you doing in the ministry? Very much, and then I'm sure we're done in the slide, yes? Okay. Excuse me, yeah. Can you introduce yourself? That's how so that you can come outside. We want to finish with this slide, and then yes.
Good morning, thank you, Chair. My name is Shoaib Janathan, Portfolio Committee Public Works Content Advisor.
Okay, Content Advisor. Okay, all right.
My name is Chair and members, Gurira Komangweni, Acting Committee Secretary.
Committee Secretary, okay. Yourself, please.
I'm actually from the Parliamentary Monitoring Group, so I'm recording for me.
Okay, all right. Shall we start that side?
Good morning. My name is APC Center for Public Works.
Come again, Researcher Public Works. Thank you very much. Okay, thank you.
George Tembo from the National Treasury, and the Director in Public Finance, and the budget of the Department of Public Works is one about three or four budgets that I look after.
Okay, thank you very much.
Morning, members and honorable chairperson. My name is Mashudu Bija. I'm from National Treasury Public Finance. I look after the budgetary affairs of the Department of Defense and Military Veterans.
Okay.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Florida Manana, member of this committee.
Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Michael Shackleton. I'm a member of Parliament, and me and the DG on this side with the yellow tie, we were in the same master's class for constitutional law at the University of Victoria.
So who was your classmate? Oh, the DG. Speaking low in here. We do need bigger personality to strengthen our views here, isn't it? And help us take intelligent and quality decisions. And thank you very much. Over to you.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Alan Duffin. I'm a member of the
Sure, we don't have to talk about the CV here now. Okay, that's fine. Honourable members, Mukanyane?
Good morning, everyone. My name is Jordan. I'm Mukanyane.
Thank you very much. I'm a member.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Dava Sobana, Chief of the Court.
Okay. Well, I have introduced myself. My name is Pinky Porter. My official name is Yvonne. So it's the same person. And then I'm the chairperson of, chairperson of this committee. Okay.
Thank you, chairperson. My name is Mokaza Aleza. I'm the representative of the committee. Thank you.
Darren Arendt, Committee Secretary, then Committee of Constitution.
Thank you.
Good morning, President and all members. My name is Pedalan Jomo, the Delta Corner Advisor.
Thank you so much. Now that we know he's in this meeting, please relax. Because it's only when we are left that we can come up with intelligent, you know, opinions and without being crowded and clouded by emotion. Thank you very much. We will then request who is going to lead us the presentation.
Thank you very much, Chairman. But the input will come from the team. I will just cover the first part, which General Gaba will take us through some of the technical issues. And generally, Bob, I think the one who got up to that was here. But we just start by saying that the reason why here the chairperson has indicated is because we've been invited together with National Treasury and the Public Works to look at the progress that has been made specifically regarding the transfer of duties for maintenance repairs and the upgrade of facilities around and the budget. From the Department of Public Works to the Department of Defense. Now we have been requested then to include the progress that we have made in our engagement and discussion with this committee, the number of budget allocations that we need towards the Defense Works Commission, and also to mention the challenges that we are facing. We have reached an agreement with the Department of Public Works. We discussed it, chaired by co-chaired by both the DG Public Works as well as Secretary for Defense, with the support of the National Treasury team. And we have been addressing the issues of the due diligence in terms of what budgets will be required to be transferred, and also to look at the, first of all, at the basis of the facilities of the Department of Defense. And this registry will include all those that we say that are part of the deliverable properties of the Defense Endowment Act. Defense Endowment Act are those properties of the Defense that belong to the Department of Defense in terms of the custodianship what is required then for the of functions as well as the budget. And also we did address the issue of the capacity finish within the defense works division and the funding of the, as well as the current shortfall in our lease portfolio compared to the state assets. The difference between the two, when we talk about the defense works division, is that we will be cancer commission within our department budgeted for its operational, and we then maintain a certain as much as we possibly can to maintain our own facilities with whatever limitations that we have. But when we look at the total lease portfolio, you will then be looking at all the facilities that are within the public works where we are leasing and we are expected to then pay not just the rent, the lease agreement, but we have to pay for whatever maintenance and management that are being done. So let's just fund all of those expenses as our lease for you. Going into to the next slide that you have shown up there, which is slide number 4, I think it's in the presentation, is that now I'm looking at the budget allocation within the Department of Defense for these works that I've talked about. When you look at it, just looking at the human resource aspects of it, that currently we have 3 professionals between the defense work position. We have 20 technicians and about 800 artisans. The factor coming and the artisans and workers is about 12%. We have to have all. There is support staff or support workers. I'm told that I'm going to check that the special campaign is ending. The facility repair and maintenance personnel that budget that we have right now a year is 345 million, and when you look at the now the total facility budget, when I say total facility budget, it's the same one I'm talking about, defense resolution plus the lease support budget, this only forms 81% within the white. I have a slide here that is not checked, but I've asked that question because I don't know what that is. But anyway, this should be the slide that I want to, the main thrust of the work that we have been doing. In this, we are trying to look it's because I needed to validate, because looking basically to the budget allocation for the coming year, which is 2019-2020, as to how much is going to be allocated to the defense workforce. And I asked them that they must clarify how much is allocated for this coming year and what is the shortfall for this coming year. But I think what I can do now, because that is information that we are working on between ourselves and the translator to sign off on the program kind of presentation. Because of the challenge that we are in with our budget, we are still working with the translator to finalize the budget allocation in terms of how much we need to support. But now, I'm sure that everybody is now dedicated for the translator to get the report to come here. I felt it's okay to start from it. But what I can say now,
I don't remember, I know one professor mentioned. For instance, your safety valve, they projected this budget, which means it's not the final budget. So projected budget means it can be changed, or you know, it's not something that is concrete. So I really want us to set by the end of this, we will be having the topic, but I know that we will want to visit the topic and depart from there sooner in nature. So let's hope that we will be able to get this as soon as possible. For now, do I have your permission that we allow them to proceed with the presentation? Honourable Member, you are the first one to.
No, fine.
So you can proceed to. Meanwhile, waiting for this. Okay. Thank you very much. We proceed with the presentation.
Thank you very much, Chair. I'm not going to go into this summary because you can see the slide is called quality summary. So we have a summary. So we can look at the summary after we just want to get to that case now. And this, all I'm saying is that we reflected now. We can tell the members this is how much is allocated to us. But in order to be able to get into the phase where we need to see this is how much you can do, then there's an attempt of the summer and then we have an opportunity to do it.
And this but was discussed with the public?
It was discussed. That's why we insisted, because this is us now. This is internal. And the same to the Defense Rights Committee, tell me how much do you need to over the budget for this coming year, starting from 9 months April. And they've been waiting with you to say this is how much we have. We do have allocation. Mm-hmm. That's what we call the wide list. So we are going to continue doing defense works as a good example. But to be able to continue to the level where we want to be continue and take over the funds. That's what is happening. It's not to say we don't have funds budget to do the works that are going to be and contracted. But we will go with detail, and the reason why I was saying the paper today is because we would have liked to communicate also to the committee the challenges that we have, which I can just mention below. Come out after the meeting, and that which is the crux of the matter with our committee is that the way we then work is that the budget when it's right now for repairs and maintenance in the public works it has got its own resources and allocation. If then we say what will do these funds the Department of Defense. The National Treasury is saying to us, what happens to this budget that's spent in the public works? Because we can't take the funds without taking the funds. Now, when you take a budget from the public works, what are you actually doing in the public works? Because once we take that budget from the public works, then they are given to us. And of course, now that we cannot kill ourselves in the budget that we have taken from the public works. But what happens then to the public works itself? Because we see that other coming to the public works. So that's really the area. And the National Treasury is saying that I'm not going to give, we are not going to come to, we're not going to give. Transfer commission additional money and while the Republic of the additional money so and both of the game that we're taking the facilities in the public and the rest. We've sorted this stuff out because we're working together with the support of the National Treasury in terms of how we can resolve. And the exactly where I'm gonna but at this point in time, why don't we
hand over the presentation? We must wait until that comes.
Thank
you. We are on slide 4. We're still on slide 4.
We're on slide 4, and then we'll go to the next slide. Slide 4. So we have looked at slide 4, and then we'll move on to slide 5.
Thank you.
Honorable Chairperson, it appears that they want this minimum stick, so they just want to, we just want to say this presentation on the level four, that they are able to get the slide feature to the, if this is the house.
The best way of dealing with us?
Chairperson, thank you very much for the opportunity and honorable members. I think the Secretary for Defense has really just captured the whole thing, so I'll just be giving small details here so that I give clarity to some of the issues. In the letter which we received, this committee instructed that we need to give information on how far are we with regards to our engagement as a task team together with DPSA. Now to that, we are saying that we said that we consider this, and we said to ourselves, when we go to DPSA, we cannot engage them in staff work. We need to be able to say, DPSA, this is the capacity which we need, this is the funding which we have, please agree that our structure is extended to this up to this much. So that is why you would see here then that we have just reflected some of the things which, according to our due diligence and consultation with the professionals and also following the industry norms, we feel that the portfolio which we have and which we are going to be receiving in the construction professionals, we need about 30 people, that is who are going to give program and project management. Architects and other in the engineering disciplines, we capture them as a summary of 59, and construction facility legal staff as 4, and then infrastructure development function support staff, which must as we are taking over these repairs, we're breaking them into some few categories, category 1 being condition assessors and building inspectors, which is 116, factotums 371, and I think the Secretary for Defense has already indicated what factotums are. We can explain more if need be. Then construction workers and groundsmen, 733, and utility management and support staff at 52. Then going back to then the DOD HR capacity requirement, that is the, in terms of the funding, the table itself there, what it just shows is the cost of capacity which is required is 578. So there we have just said that according to the year, 2019 and into the next 3 years. So that is the figures. I don't think that I need to read them for you. Now, in terms of this, we actually require also an increase in our logistic support. I think that has indicated that there is work which we are doing already. There is a certain capacity which we have. So we'll just minus this capacity which we have to say that what do we require in order to add on the capacity which we require. And there we are capturing the logistics which will be your vehicles and everything else. Then the issues like your software, information technology, which you require in order to run this function. Now, emerging challenges, I need to here indicate that these are not challenges which we are saying that because they are challenges, we are sitting down and doing nothing about them. Currently, the Defense Force is is doing a number of things in order to address this. But we need to accept that the facilities which you are taking over, they are not in a good condition themselves. And therefore there is a gap which you are having. Those are some of the emerging challenges which we say that we are having. Now, Tabatwani, it is one, or has been reflected as one of our biggest worries, where there is a jawline activity there, and we need to arrest that as urgently as possible. Then we are saying that one area, it is a rapid increase in the risk for post-polio, and this is one area where we think that we can actually make a good saving if our strategy is implemented. And then, of course, sewer systems and so on, then refurbishment and replacement of security infrastructure. Now, here I'm talking nationwide, and I think the committee has themselves observed that there are certain challenges in Bloemfontein in regard with this. But we say that there are many others which, if not addressed, they will create a problem. I spoke about the lease portfolio here. I've just reflected on a graph which shows you. And what we want to indicate here is that our lease is increasing. And if you look at this table here, it shows that the increase of the lease portfolio, if we continue like this, in less than 10 years, we will be paying 1 billion for lease. And this is not acceptable because we do have land, and we can use that land to deal with the lease challenges. Capital works and refurbishment shortfall. Here we're just showing a historical thing and also the allocation going into the future to say that what we were allocated in 2018-19 and the shortfall which we will have. But I want to bring you to the last table, particularly when it comes to refurbishment. We've delivered at least in 2016-2017, and we've shown you here that there is a shortfall of about 242, but this was not a shortfall, it was an under expenditure. Then going to 17-18, there was an under expenditure of 339, and this ultimately led to our budget being reduced, and therefore we are saying that for us to be able to go forward, we're not necessarily asking for more money, we're just saying that put us back to the 2016-2017 financial year allocation, then we should be able to get ourselves out of these difficulties. How are we going to do this? If you look at this slide, we're saying that our current way of operating is that we fix a facility or we create a facility, it is at this, then we let it fall and we try to pick it up, and it becomes so costly. Now, in terms of our intervention, we are saying that we are requesting that we must be allowed to rebuild and bring these facilities there. But here is an important thing, that we will not allow the facilities to fall down to lower than this. So if you see these arrows, it is the intervention. Honorable Chairperson, honorable members, all of you stay in hotel. If your pipe in a hotel bust, you phone the front desk, fix it. Send somebody in 5 minutes to come and fix it. And this is exactly what we want to do. If they don't fix it, it will overflood the whole hotel and then you'll get a bigger damage. And this is our approach to dealing with facilities without getting into detail. Opportunities which are there for us. We are saying that we have got land. Both Giama and Endowment as Secretary for Defense has explained, and therefore we believe that by using that land, within a period of 10 years, we should be saving that 1 billion, which I said that if we do not do anything, in 10 years' time, we would be paying a billion plus for leases, which is not acceptable. So the next one, I think we're actually saying that how do you then make sure that you get your support staff, you get your professionals and so on. We have just highlighted that some of the opportunities. Honorable Chairperson, honorable members, this is the end of the presentation.
Okay. Are there any additions from thank you very much. That will be our presentation, as I indicated. It's a joint presentation with Public Works and Defense. And at this point in time, I'm just learning from our colleagues at the page, GG Public Works and
thank you very much. From our side, because this is a joint presentation, we don't want to spoil it. We agree with what the president said. And then we can take the discussion. I don't know if you come up. Do you want to add? No, we
are fine. I just want to check, where are we in terms of the budget?
What is the slide?
Just been informed that the budget will be remade in measures.
Remade?
Yes.
No. Yeah.
Honourable Chairperson, is it possible to just take, because some chairperson put a copy there.
Yeah,
take
and
that
then
one.
Make copies.
Yeah, just
make
copies from that one.
Yeah, because we need the slides here so that we can interrogate the slides for deeper understanding of the status quo and what we, and the possible solutions. Possible solutions and the best solutions. Okay. All right. National Treasury, do you have any presentation to make to us or additions to make? This was a task team in the office of National Treasury.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. From National Treasury side, we are in agreement with the committee approach and the two departments approach about the movement of this function to the Department of Defense. We have had some engagements as well with General Redwaba, and my colleague George has also had an engagement with Public Works from his side. From where we are as National Treasury, our processes, our engagement or our assistance with the two departments, it comes right at the end of the process. Because once the two departments have finalized the properties that need to move, or the management function which needs to move over to the Department of Defense, we will just facilitate the transfer or the shifting of the budget. But I think we have also in our engagement cautioned the Department of Defense as well to say that in the two departments' engagement, the key stakeholder which is missing a little bit is the Department of Public Service and Administration. Because when you shift function from one department to another, they are the one who approves. We as National Treasury, we come right at the end just to facilitate the movement of budget. And from where I'm sitting, that process won't be cumbersome from our side, because Chairperson, I just want to remind everyone here that when this function was devolved to departments, this maintenance function and management of properties from public works, the budget, the maintenance budget, currently as I'm speaking, it's sitting with the Department of Defense. The Department of Defense has got an allocation of about 1 billion rand on accommodation charges. That money we earmark it from National Treasury point of view. However, at the moment, then during the year, National Treasury pays back that amount to the Department of Public Works for the maintenance of the property. That's how the model is. So for us, from where we are sitting as National Treasury, the budget is already in the books of the Department of Defense. So what needs to be done from the committee side or from the technical team side is just to agree what amount then remains within the Department of Defense going forward, which doesn't need to be transferred back for the same function with the Department of Public Works. So the critical thing here is for the agreement on the function that needs to move over to the Department of Defense. Because, as you know, I think in 2015 or so, Secretary for Defense, the Minister of Public Works and the Minister of Defense, they signed a memorandum of understanding around the very same issues that we are talking about. And there it was dealing with the movement of all endowment property functions.
But however, in that, there is another important issue which the committee needs to take up, is the disposal function. So in that memorandum of understanding, there was an agreement between the two departments that even if the maintenance function move over to the Department of Defense, however, the disposal function will still remain with the Department of Public Health. So those are some small issues that can be ironed out. But I just want to give assurance to the committee that National Treasury is in full support of the resolution of the committee, and we will work with the two departments. We have sensitized them that for this function to finally move over to the Department of Defense, ideally by June this year, before we start with the new budget process, all these teething problems and agreement of what is going to move, the staffing issues, and the approval from the Department of Public Service and Administration should be finalized by then. So that's when ours is just a technical issue of we also come in case if the Department of Defense and Public Works don't agree even on the amount. Treasury regulations empowers us then to determine how much of the budget needs to go over to the Department of Defense. But that is a right at the end of the process. The issue now is for the two departments to really agree and finalize what moves over. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson.
Well, thanks for your input. I know now that the missing link, well, that's budget. Budget talks to people, and you surely, like me, know that people are born to lie. Figures don't tell us, if they've been cleaned up, they don't tell lies. Okay. I take it that we now have the document in front of us, and now and then allow the two co-chairs to lead us in this presentation. So.
Thank you very much. I think at this stage I'll ask Chairman Kava to take us through the details on the
Honorable Chairperson, honorable members, thank you very much. If all have the the slide, I would like to make an indication that when we talk of the white book, just for clarity of the nomenclature, the secretary has already said that this is what is allocated. This is our budget. If we were a company, we would say the budget the budget allocated for both operating, for capital, and for the execution of the function itself, operating, capital, and HR. So this is the amount of, this is the budget which is allocated in this year. Then we are saying that what we require is this amount, and the shortfall is captured at this. That is in terms of the corporate budget for facilities, for facilities expenditure. Now, the operating budget for defense works formation, the white book, is reflected as this amount, and required is this amount, and the shortfall is this. Now, if you add these two figures, they should give you 1.194, which is then an indication of what is the delta which we have. And then it can go on into the future years.
In other words, in summary, that if we were then to take over the maintenance of our facilities for this coming year, 2019-2020, we would still require an amount of 1.194 billion. And as Mr. Treasurer is in terms of our budget cycle, we now requesting the members not to be looking at 2019-2020, but to be assisting us to be looking at 2020-2021 to see whether can we then, at least between now and June, be able to find ourselves comparing between the three parties, but the party that is not here, which is very critical, is the one of the GPSA. So we need the GPSA also to come in to help us to compare with us. Is that come 2020-2021, this is what is going to be required from us to continue to build the capacity in the future. But I would like to assure the members to say something. As the matter as is today, that we are doing maintenance, repairs, and upgrades in the department. We are not waiting for this shifting of functions to be finalized. On day-to-day basis, we have a task team from the Department of Public Works and the Defense that are willing from time to time that for this work we will do it ourselves. For that work we will have a public work. For instance, when we look into when the next time we go to Pompontain, we will be able to indicate to you that working on the Department of Public Works, we were able to do this by ourselves. And also to alert the members in that some of it we find ourselves into some contractual arrangements which are technically difficult to make. For instance, if we say that the Department of Public Works has engaged consultants to do its work in this facility, and the members come in and say, no, we don't, you said you agree you're going to transfer it to the Department of Defense. Department of Defense is taking over that the consultant that they've already been appointed to make sure that we then see what we have to rearrange, because that we have to rewrite the contract that is standing in the contract. Because the contractor that is appointed, they're not just going to allow you to say, okay, fine, we don't know how we're going to do this ourselves because we're going to do it ourselves. We've already gotten their own construction company already on site working. We can't then say, big defense transformation are coming in now to do the work ourselves. This construction company and the consultants can stop the work. So those are the challenges that are coming on the floor. That's why I'm saying, if we do not do anything, we will continue these arrangements with the Department of Public Works taking over. But once you finalize to say let's transfer this and the second phase of money, then we'll be building the capacity of the Department of Defense into STEM. And that will be for the benefit, I think, of the not just of the Department of Defense, but we are talking with the architect here teaching to say actually when you have the Department of Defense, like what we're doing now in the Valley, I think that's a good example. What we're doing in the battlefield of the headwater system, we were taking the engineers and the workers and the security from the Department of Defense, lodging it in there. It benefits the municipalities themselves. Now, can you imagine if we have that capacity within the Department of Defense, because we will then go into any other department, the courts, the hospitals, the prisons, the sort of centers, the capacity that is
in Kenan Abbas, the government scheme that we teach and managed by the. So when you talk about the cost of goods to women, that's what the man is thinking to do. Of course, the cost of goods in terms of the what is it that the government must do and what is the private sector must do in terms of such in terms of
all right. Thank you very much for the presentation. We now have had the opportunity of going through all the slides that we prepared for this meeting. I'm now going to, of course, we have been listening to this progress report, and in terms of the progress report, the program has been on the maintenance by the defense force, and also maintenance of the defense force facilities by public works. And in terms of our engagement, there was then a movement to say, let's form a task team that will then move from our observations and work out a concrete solution. Because regardless of the fact that you always had this maintenance budget, what we saw there, you know, was very abnormal. And regardless of the fact that public works has always had this money transferred to them for them to maintain, do maintenance in the defense force facilities, we still were confronted by an appalling situation, which then triggered this engagement in the establishment of the task team. What is important is that we have a progress report. I'm now going to open the floor for the honorable members to interrogate the report, the progress report. Moving from our observation and then the progress report and then the way forward. Yeah. Honorable members, I allow the members. Three, four questions at a time, then time allowing the MP member to take the part. Honorable member, Lockley, you handle the first one, and then honorable member, Shackleton, will be the next, and then honorable member,
thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you for the delegation here. Madam Chair, through you, I'm concerned. We've heard this morning from three people, and we have a delegation of 24 people. In my terms, this is a massive waste of money. We've just heard the budget. Our current budget as a country is in terribly constrained financial circumstances. We do not have money to waste. And I would like an explanation as to why it was necessary for 24 people to come and address this committee and only three of you spoke. In addition to that, this presentation we received at 20 to 10 last night. And then today we presented an extra page that wasn't part of the original presentation. It makes me think, and I could be totally wrong, but it makes me think that the department, this committee is treated with some contempt by the department since yesterday. That's the impression created there. As I say, I may be totally wrong, but when we receive that kind of treatment from you, it doesn't all go well. It's not impressive. But to carry on from there, I'd like you to explain to us, please, because I understand we deal with money here. That's what the Appropriations Committee does. We don't necessarily know all the ins and outs of how your departments work and what your functions are. Now, I would like to know first, this property that we're talking about, wherever it might be, whatever it is, whose name is it registered in now? Is it registered in the name of the Department of Defense, or the Department of Public Works, or just the Republic of South Africa? Who's the registered owner of that land? And then in terms of what, is it allocated to each department? Do you have a sort of a deed of cession, or some kind of grant, or some kind of contract, whereby central government gives you the property to operate and maintain? And is there some agreement in place that gives you the mandate to operate third property, but the limited needs, etc. I want to understand the line of authority here, so that I know what's going on, because this is a structure whereby you're taking over a function from the Department of Public Works. That leads me to believe that the Department of Public Works is actually the owner of the land. But in your presentation, you say that the Department of Defense has adequate land for this. So what is it you're taking over? I'm not quite understanding that. Then if I go into the slides, if I look at, you say you currently have 2,411 people in your facility repairs and maintenance department. Well, as you heard from our honorable chairperson, the visit to government in the field, no maintenance happens at all repairs. So what are these 2,400 people doing? What have they been doing up to now? Because you say that the facility repair maintenance personnel, the personnel costs you $845.2 million in the present budget. Okay? I presume the rest of that's 21.9% in the DOD facility budget. I presume the rest of it is for the materials and things like that that they actually need to use in order to carry out the maintenance and the force. So where have they been busy? What have they been doing? Now, this next slide, page 5, indicates to me that you wanted to take on 1,365 additional staff members. We already have a huge weight building this in this administration in this country, which we're trying to reduce. So my question is, for this 1,365 new jobs in the Department of Defense, is the Department of Public Works sacrificing that number of jobs? Are they getting rid of that number of personnel that are being transferred to the Department of Defense? Because if not, we have a major problem. We can't just add on 1,300 new staff members. How are we going to afford that? And for a function that you've already got 2,400 people working in that aren't doing the job. I'm not with it. The capacity required, I mean, it's a huge amount of money you're talking about, but you want that, in addition to what you've got already. Our concern is that every year, consistently, the Department of Spend, the Department of Defense overspends its budget on compensation by a fairly large amount. Now you're going to increase this once again. It's unconscionable. You know, you have a budget, you're supposed to stick to that budget. Now, you make statements as well, if I can carry on, madam, if I use up my time, you can stop me. On slide 7, you say sewage systems need urgent attention to DOD facilities. Whose responsibility was this up to now? Was it with the Department of Public Works, or was it with the Department of Defense? If it was with the Department of Public Works, did they have a budget for it? Because obviously if they did, that budget was not spent on doing it, because it hasn't happened. So, what did happen? If they didn't have a budget for it, and the Department of Defense had a budget for it, why wasn't the work done? Are you guys taking any action? Because obviously there, somebody dropped the ball here, because repairs and maintenance is an essential function. All of the general has been saying for many years, you need the budget, 8% of your budget must go towards maintenance. And if you've got that much budget, why don't the maintenance happen? Clearly, it's not happening because all these things need doing. So, try to explain to us. Get us over this hump here because I have a major problem with what's going on. It seems to me that money is budgeted for. I don't know whether it's spent or unspent, but the job it's budgeted for doesn't happen. So, again, refurbishment and replacement of security infrastructure, fences, guard towers, etc., emergency facilities. Again, whose responsibility is that? And when I read through the department's budget lines, and I see that the department spends millions of rand every year, the Department of Defense, on hiring private security companies to guard their facilities, I think, what's wrong with our troops? Are they incapable of doing their job? When I was in the Air Force, I spent most of my time guarding a facility, marching up and down at night with dogs, guarding the place. What's happened? Now they employ private security companies while our soldiers didn't do what? Watch TV. It's money talking. I don't know what's going on. please explain this to me, because I'm at a loss. Thank you very much. I'll leave it there for now.
Thank you very much for your question. Next.
Thank you very much, Chair. Might pick me up, but at least we're in a small room. So we have been told that the staff costs in the SANDF exceed the available budget. I'd like to ask, how did that come about? As in, was there a time where perhaps the budget for the number of the staff fell within the available budget, and then perhaps you experienced budget cuts, or how did this really happen? And how will this be addressed going forward? I mean, will you be asking for additional funding? Will money be transferred between different departments? And more especially, looking at this presentation, as my colleague has indicated, there is a personnel requirement for what is being proposed. So in terms of these massive budget constraints for available staff, how will this new personnel requirement affect the current situation in which we find ourselves, and vice versa? And then the slide called Way Forward, which looks at the lease replacement strategy, I think that is a strategy that can be applauded, as it looks to save costs. It's going to be on state-owned land, you don't have to buy new land. But it doesn't seem to indicate how much the lease replacement strategy will actually cost. And I think if we can get the cost of that, we'll be much better informed and be able to look at that versus what the leases are costing us now, which it was indicating we can save roughly one billion rand a year if we can, although not a year, over 10 years. But if we can look at that, we can make an informed decision and understand what's going on. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Honourable Member Shepherdson. Honourable Member Sipanen.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chairman. Thank you very much for the presentation. My first question is partly answered by Treasurer, because I wanted to ask a teacher. You mentioned, when you were speaking about the challenge of transferring funds, or to Department of Defense transferring funds, and then you have concerns about what will happen then, that is the Department of Public Works. Because my question was going to be, are the transfers made in terms of the function, so any remaining functions? I would imagine that any remaining functions would still have paid by children. But I think the Treasury has a very tight end on the first question. And then, in terms of the challenges, you know, when we went to the school campaign, we found quite a number of problems. They just get a sense of whether some of those challenges or those problems that you identified have been, because sometimes we made them to focus on the transferring of functions, and maybe just to make us comfortable, are these challenges being attended to as we speak, not while the other processes are ongoing? And then on slide number 9, with regard to the refurbishment program, you mentioned the fact that the budget was reduced in 2018-19 due to underspending, which you can see here was underspending. And then your requirement has of course jumped high, and my question would be, now in the 2018-19 financial year, you find that you are able to spend it, because it's fine to say it's a shortfall from the requested amount or the required amount according to you. Because I'm asking this because it's almost the end of the financial year. are you finding that this money actually has to spend or will be spent at the end of the year, if you call it a shortfall? That is the expected. But the other thing that I just wanted to comment on is the issue of acronyms. You know, I tried with the first to find out what RT1 means, but I realized it's 1 billion more. I said RM, when what is on the graphic system, but also in the body of the thing, when you say RM in the middle of the sentence, but I somehow managed to, I think you said this is just too much. You set us guessing. But thank you very much. This is all.
Thank you very much for the speech, Honourable Member Giovanna.
Chair, let me start with the comment, Chair.
Pardon?
Yeah, comment, I and myself don't have this speech. Yeah, if I heard you correctly, you confirm that what you are now presenting to us emanating from our oversight visit and the decisions that we both made in the group of is expanding to the whole all of the defense facilities throughout the country. And if it is so, I'm quite pleased that you are not just talking yourself in the issue, simply because you were there with yourself. Because the report of the Standing Committee on Appropriations and that of the Joint Standing Committee on Defense and Military Veterans do really speak the same language. It would therefore make sense that when you consider what we discussed with yourself, you then escalate it to the rest of the country. So, concern if I had to correct you, and I'm saying that is so. If I had to correct you, that's quite commendable. It's called taking responsibility. Go to slide 4. I just want to understand, you know, when we met in indicated to us that you can build your capacity to handle all of the matters you raised with yourself and discussed within 3 months. Is this now representing the report to that promise that in 3 months you will build from within a capacity to respond to the repairs and maintenance and given the whole construction requirements within yourself. In the same slide, the bottom of the page, where you're quoting the figure of 845 million rand, is this the amount of money that is currently available within the 2018-19 budget uh,
or is it what you you're reflecting as in the 2019-20 financial year? If it is currently available within the 2018-19 budget, we are so close to the end of this financial year. It might not all be spent within the next month and 2 weeks remaining for the end of the financial year. So just explain to us that amount of money, where does it belong, this current year or the incoming financial year, and how do you handle them, what would not be spent by the time the financial year ends. On slide 5, read together with slide 4, on your capacity and that budget. In slide 4, you are giving us the required profit at Casolem, representing all divisions of your capacity and the budget. And then you are repeating almost the same thing in slide 5, professional, support staff, and then the cost. What is in slide 4 to us in terms of the budget, slide 5, 2019-20. And that's where my challenge was between the funds available currently and the 2019-20 budget. And I don't know whether what you are reflecting on slide 5 is covered in slide 4 or is it something totally new, because you're also saying public service and administration must assist you as well to clarify so that we can be clear. But the slide 5 sounds like an additional staff capacity. But it's reflected in slide 4 as well. You indicate in slide 8 that you make a very important point that moving is costly and would want to prepare to build your own facilities at this cost. And you projected the cost of building your own facilities at this point in time. But we totally agree that you save a lot of money if you can build your own facilities and refrain from building. There was a comment that if you were to be given a budget equivalent to the 2016-17 budget, you would be able to cover all your business. I was wondering whether you are suggesting that your budget has been progressively slashed since 2017, or you increased your programs, which therefore is more money equivalent to the 2016-17 budget.
anything between the two could have happened. Last in chapter 6, I don't hear quite clear whether some discussion has started between the Department of Defense and the Minister of Defense, DPW, and Public Services Administration. So that you then begin to talk to issues related to legislative processes. Obviously, that is such legislative processes could not be now taken again for this big parliament. But obviously, departments will always be there, so processes can always continue and be taken over by the next parliament. That expectation that this portfolio committee has.
Okay, honorable member, thank you very much, honorable member. Honorable member Manana.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Let me welcome the presentation. Chairperson, 3 points of the first one is with regards to the personnel. It is important that the budget of the personnel is escalated actually that it's over the budget. The second issue with regards to the obligation that Ms. Manufacturing talked about the 24, are they 24? Why are they here? You'll be complaining that you don't have money. But all these people that are here for the general government coming to the issue. If this issue of a Swane Metro, we agree that if you have a land, you need to build a fully infrastructure. But when did you start with this agreement? This is the draft of yours. Started in 2007. And
And all right. I just want to know when are you going to meet the Department of your Public Health Administration? Because to me, this one you cannot delay. You said you must involve them from the very beginning, so that they also advise you in the process as you engage the material on what is feasible and what is not. But from the look of things, you have not met the department yet. But I know that our advice in the meeting was establish this committee that will be also inclusive of them. The advantage being when they meeting, they will then be able to tell you what is feasible and what is not. All right, I just want to also find out, in your presentation, Secretary, you then spoke about service providers or some contracts, yeah? And if I understood you correctly, in your engagement, you would also talk about how you are going to deal with that aspect of the contract. And agree on the aspect of the contract. How, if you take over, how are you going to, those contracts obviously they have some time frames. So if you take over, how do you manage that part without losing money? Because some contracts, if you just terminate, you end up with quite a losing and you lose no money. So how are you going to, how are you negotiating that aspect? The contract that I will be implementing. Again, in your presentation, it seems clear that you have a shortfall on compensation of employees. Am I correct?
Yes.
So how are you going to make sure that the budget allocation for infrastructure maintenance function is not going to be absorbed by your current budget shortfall? How are you going to protect this maintenance budget, because it's not your people talk about firemen, but this one, we don't want people to hear firemen. How are you going to protect to make sure that it goes where it's supposed to go? Because we are here because of the maintenance big challenge that we have seen at how are you going to make sure this doesn't happen? Because we don't want it to happen. One is when you want to, you know, refurbishment of those buildings. Then we will then be able to, you know, to project on your finalization stage. For now, we don't know what's happening. You know, when are you starting, when are you ending? Because even if it's there, when the time requires that you go back to your joint business, you do that and adjust. But for now, we want that clear. So that I know you spoke about June, but in one thing you just said, that would be a guiding document. But time and again, if there's a need for you to go back to the joint business, you can go to the budget market. You must talk to your medium term, I'm sorry, short term, medium term, and long term. I think, I will then want to hand over to the co-chair to respond. Do you have another question?
On slide 7 and then again on slide 8, the comment is made, Pony metro area make up 90% of these all the census, and then again 90% of these is identified metro. I just wanted to know, are the least contacts with the metro, or if the properties are situated within the metro area.
Okay, thank you very much. I will allow you, and after this one, I won't take any other question because I want to make progress also in terms of, in terms of the process. You'll ask in the next round. So that we allow them enough space to respond to these issues that we raise, and then members may pull up questions and also our honourable member Gavanda.
Not a totally new question. It's related to the question that you, Chairperson, Honourable Duffin, has raised. And it's not the first time that this question has been raised. We raised it with the National Treasury 2 weeks ago. The personnel resident of your shortfall in budget, particularly for personnel. It was explained to us that there is a discussion going on between these two departments, National Treasury and your service, Department of Defense. To the fact that to resolve that particular challenge of your personnel against your shortfall in budget for that program in particular, compensation of employees, you could deploy some of your personnel to other departments within the business activity cluster. Because the advantage you have is that your personnel is multi-skilled, so you can actually deploy to other departments within the business activity. So that to an extent you resolve that particular challenge that DOD has at the moment. Maybe in response to the two questions that have been raised by Honourable McLaughlin and the chairperson, you could speak to that as best, so that we understand what the challenge is between the National Treasury proposal and yourselves accepting that kind of proposal. It does not speak to retrenching people. It speaks to redeploying them to relevant sections within the peace and security cluster, probably including justice as well.
Okay. Shall we then allow the team to respond to the issue today?
Thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson. Honourable members, we will then respond to the question that has been raised. But in the meantime, we will then the responders to some of the questions. On the question of the current plan of the Defence Works Commission, that we have 2011, we'll ask Sir Rava to respond to that. What are they doing in 2011 already? What are they doing and what value have they added to the department and also to respond to the sewage project to the agenda of engineering allocated to the GKO also? Because the whole function has been within the and then to the transfer to the request for this recommendation. sometimes face challenges during those years, bigger than attention to other areas of the country. Economic balance is one of the challenges of which the facility has, as also since the member countries that can contain general government that highlight the progress that has been made. Because we did say that over 3 months we were going to start the repairs, but also we will come up with a plan for the repairs, but at the same time also start analyzing what kind of capacity we are going to need. And the question I think is directly also related to that, what general government can answer, what funds do we have for this year 2019 and next month, what was the budget, and what are we looking at under the basis or not in terms of as we have indicated that we are currently attending for 825 million dollars, and also we can also talk to the slide 4, slide 5 in terms of what is available, what is required for the city. Question then has been asked about the delegation that is here this morning. It comes from three departments as we have indicated, and some of the members of the who are here, when you say it's 24, are actually based in the province of Western Cape, and are already here to assist us as staff. And also to indicate that yes, we are aware with the cost constraints that we always train the delegation to bear minimum requirement, and those who might have traveled from Calgary because of the nature of the presentations that we were going to make, and we needed the exact expertise so that they can give us the exact information as required, whether it relates to construction, repairs, maintenance, upgrades, or the system of this facility, as well as the HR matters. So that's what they will say, why there's such a dedication. Now, when we look at the question regarding the assets that are available, sometimes we talk about the DOD land, sometimes over the government land. I just want to explain that the facilities that are used by the Department of Defense, these facilities belong to two types, two types of land. What we call GIAMA, that is Government Immovable Assets Management Act. The facilities that fall under Government Immovable Assets Management Act, GIAMA, these are what we generally refer to as government land. It's government lands in the hands of municipalities, provincial, national. And then the other land will be falling under what we call Defense and Government Act. Now, the ones of Defense and Government Act is what we can call defense land. But up to now, both these types of properties, in terms of their rules, and under whose custodian are they? They were both under public works, both of them, both GIAMA and Defense and Government. The agreement that we were talking about that was signed between the community was that the defense, those facilities that under the Defense and Government Act should then be transferred from public works to Department of Defense. There's an agreement between the two ministers, Minister of Public Works, Minister of Defense, and we are in the process of doing that so that eventually the defense and government movable properties are now transferred to the ownership of the Department of Defense. In other words, when the Auditor General arrives at our department, they give you an asset register of all the land that you own. Right now, that asset register will hold with
then what, when now in the process of saying, you say we could do that now, the transfer of assets under the Defense Endowment Act for the defense. Now when the Auditor General arrives and they bring the register of all your movable assets, then what the Auditor General will expect me as an accounting officer of the Department of Defense to produce that register, you have to make sure that it is accurate and so on. When it comes to the cost of employees, I think a number of questions have been raised regarding the cost of employees in the Department of Defense. So this will answer to cover all the questions that have been raised by different members. Yes, we do have a challenge in the Department of Defense as far as the cost of employees. Yes, there was a time when the cost of employees, the budget allocated for the cost of employees was adequate and was adequate to meet the requirements of the Department of Defense. The strength of the Department of Defense, as we speak today, is 35,000 SOM. I mean, now people are around. And the attrition may be how many people we use every year, would be about 3,000. And we have 3,000 people who will be the Department of Defense for various reasons for their talent and the attrition rate. In 2017 budget, the MTF budget, there was a decision by the government to reduce the wage bill. That's what I'm talking about. It came up with a decision. I'm sorry. The decision was then taken to cut the wage bill of the government. And the Department of Defense was the worst affected. It was cut 2016-2017 by 1.5 billion, 2017-2018 about more or less 2 billion, and 2018-2019 where we are now, over the period of the next 3 years, the budget is actually by the cost of employees for the department as a whole. Was about 10 billion, but over 3 years, just a total reduction, all the programs was about 10 billion over 3 years. But on the cost of employees, it affected us this much. As a result, for this now, and it was not because we increased the number of employees, no. Actually, if anything, the number of employees were reduced from 79,000 to 75,000 over the past 5 years. And now we're sitting at about 75,000. For this year, that is ending next month, we have a shortfall in our cost of employees of 3.2 billion. Not because we increased or overspend or anything, just because the premium on the cost of employees was reduced by that amount to a level whereby now we are sitting in the shortfall of 3.2. We were supposed to meet today, but I'm sure that the TPSA minister might not be available. The three ministers, Minister of Finance, Minister of Defense, Minister of Public Safety and Administration, to say what do we do, because I'm sitting in front of you today. If I don't get global foundation of treasure to the ceiling by 3.2 billion, it means that as an accounting officer, I'm coming to say I have unauthorized expenditure for financial year 2018 of 3.2 billion. If you say to me, don't have unauthorized expenditure, it means I have expired 6,000 soldiers in a different department now. And it's not because we did anything different over the last 8 years, but I think it's simply because a decision has been taken to reduce the cost of the employees on the department.
was dead kept for about 3 weeks or a year on the course of the Kurdish Christianity, which can act as GSF. So there will be there an agent that I would hope maybe we can agree towards the authorization that the court of the police will be financially enabled and not should be increased. I think we should be doing all the minutes at the moment to meet, and all we have to do now is to just plan for all that meeting together. I think that will cover, that will take summarize the problems of cost of employees that the Department of Defense is facing today. In terms of the projections, when we say yes, most of our meeting is in East and most of them is not there. They are in Swan. I think it's not explained in the presentation, but when we say metro, we don't necessarily mean that they are moved by metro. Some of them are but most of them in the we, in terms of building our own facilities to say, as a concept, as a threat, we need to move to the territory towards, I guess even the government is authorized, we're talking to the same language as the state to take over the South system. We're also moving because of the direction. Now we are actually strengthened by the fact that we do own them and we do have the facility to be on this land and that we could start building our offices and facilities and places ourselves, so that if you look at the swap hall, I always tend to use the concept of swap hall, airport space, and waterproof airport space. Waterproof airport space is one day event, so we public works department powers now own, manage, and our own land. But swap off is on the Chiama bed. So we will then continue working with the public works in terms of maintenance. That I think is a good example if we want to see how this facility. So we are saying that we have more of waterproof kind of facilities rather than swap off kind of facilities. We will be able to say, but let's talk about the projects. I don't think we have to step all what we have done now. Strategy, which we have developed. We are waiting for the Council of Defense, which is chaired by our Minister of Defense, to approve it, so that we can decide which land, which property, and where can we then at least get an approval to build our own facilities in this area. And of course, we, as the chairman has said, we will end up to, once we have finalized the plan, we have to go to public works for our cabinet and the regional treasurer to for support that the such funds can actually be used for our own business so that we can have such a big budget. And when it comes to the legislative process, fortunately the way the legislative process is structured for both the functions of the Department of Defense, for GM and the President himself, Minister should say has to be enacted so that the legislation will say the facilities can be, that needs to be done by public works, and then the Minister of Public Works assigned it to another department. So most of it is covered within the legislation, but it requires Minister of Public Works to agree or to enter into agreement with another department if certain functions of the Department of Public Works need to be transferred from the government in the legislation. What say the whole transfer of the government?
Yeah, I think when you talk about the agreement, I think one of the things you're talking to, because it's 2007, it depends maybe to a time when, as the Department of Defense took a decision that we now have our own defense work commission, which was in 2007, and then now, after that, we have slowly building this defense work commission and to see what kind of work can take over. And as we speak now, this expansion are being transferred. For instance, we get checked. It's not to say why we're waiting for Metro, Mr. Abdelito, but why not transferring it. For instance, look at one main hospital, yes, it's defended by government. One big hospital has been refurbished by public works and has been worked for the expansion of 1 year, has been going on for a number of years now. But Department of Public Works has transferred that function to the Department of Defense. So the functions are being transferred as step by step, phase by phase. We're not waiting for any other meetings or consultations or workshops or practical. It's just that what we are talking about, whatever the chair also is referring to, in terms of saying we must have a meeting plan, is now total transfer, whereby you have no, the way I understand it, total transfer of money from public works to the Department of Defense. But the agreement is that the reason we can do it in 1 year is because it's the defense environment. So for the defense environment proper, functions are being transferred. And for the Chiama properties, but it's a case by case basis. But for the defense environment, when we're ready, you will take it over. And the meeting with the GPS is for example, immediately. It's a matter of we wanted to control this process, the plan, so that we can say now for 18, 19, for instance, we say between now and June, the next cycle is June starts. Before we go to June, we would have met with the Department of Public Safety Administration for them to go there with us. So we're just analyzing this plan, the very good plan, so that we can take it to the Department of Public Safety. In terms of the contracts and service provider, how are you dealing with this in terms of timeframes? I think the transfer of functions from public works to public defense, as far as maintenance and repair concerned, we have had a very good pilot project with them. The one I'm talking about is the one we talk about. We did have service provider and contractors on site that we needed to take over the whole country. So it was quite an experience, very challenging. As you say, we can't just change a contract. The contract is that if these contractors are contracted to repair one main, according to the contract that they need, now they are moving it to ask the contract plan. I'm saying to the administrators that no, I really don't need to say, well, I want to spend some time with this company, I don't need this construction company, I don't need this construction company, I don't need this construction company. No, it's not only a matter of where you need them, but not to have a function. So I have to work with the contractor to try to have a good thing with the contractor. So we do have that kind of ideas and can be done. Just how complaining to say, oh, but I have to continue doing it, it's more expensive to do, or the plan is cheaper. And that's what I would say. The plan is cheaper, but I don't have like, any choice now. I continue to do it. I think I have addressed some of the questions. Let's start with our publication.
Thanks very much, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. With respect to the area of the delegation, the same will apply. The issues that we are discussing, they cover a variety of functions which requires different functionaries. But from our side, public was looking at an advantage that we are allowed to. We have got various activities in this space to the extent that the capacity that we have still, we said they must join us before they attend to other activities. So we thought that we should share as and when we are given the opportunity to meet with the honorable members, we should come and engage, because the skills that is here to assist. With respect to the area of sewage issues, I think my colleague is going to cover the issue of the maintenance strategy as to what is that we are doing and what we are doing going forward to ensure that we address the matters related to this. It's a function that was performed by Public Works, as already explained from the Treasury, as to how did we perform a function, budget sitting in defense, perform a function, the function frequently has to be funded. I think I'll allow Mary General Ndwawa to cover the areas which are outstanding, and then after Mr. Maroka is going to intervene, just to cover us with respect to areas of maintenance. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, I'm speaking a challenge here, and it's a little bit embarrassing challenge. I'm not sure how long is it going to take for me to go through this, answering this question. I need to request a 3-minute body break so that I can be able to be free and give all the attention to what I'm addressing. With your permission, Honorable Chairperson. 3 minutes body break.
That's what you call the human rights. So, shall we take a 2 minutes?
Is it the number one or number two?
To members' questions, I would like us to proceed quietly, proceed with the business. Over to you,
First of all, I need to say thank you very much for the body break. I am now ready. I would like to talk first to one question in general. The facility world is a world where if you do not put your resources in a certain way, you end up spending more for a small thing. All of us have got houses, and no one hires Marine Brothers to come and stop a tap from leaking. You always need handy persons. So when we're discussing these things, I would like that should be understood. The other thing I say, the sector for defense has already indicated that there's a facility strategy in the DOD where we say that we are not happy with where we are today, but we have done a roadmap of where we are going. And in that roadmap, we are sure that we are going to be making certain savings, which will then be addressing the concerns of the committee here in terms of budget. But let me talk to the slide on the strength of the defense transformation and what have we been doing all the time. When you look at the strength which is indicated here, we have said that we are 21%, 21.9%, and this the Honourable Chair, the Honourable Member had asked whether this is what is required or this is what we have, the 845 million. This is what we have and these are the people which are working now within the Defence Force. The question then comes, what have they done? Unfortunately, we were not given the opportunity to share the things which we have done, but we can say that we have projects which were carried out, and we have costed those projects to say, had we outsourced this project, how much would it, what would it have costed us? And we found that the internal, that is by using our own internal capacity, we have saved much more money. How did we test this? In certain instances, we went to industry and said, industry, we want to do this. How much will you do it for? And industry said, X amount of money. And we used our own people, and we have done it at half the price in certain instances. How did you come, how do I come to that conclusion? We have looked at the salaries we paid in that period when we were doing the job. We have looked at the consumables relative to material and so on and transportation. But of course, it can't be rocket science to say that it can be purely half. It could be half and a little bit of other things which we could not calculate. So this is what I want to give an emphasis on, to say this is what we are able to achieve with these percentages. Now, if you look at industry, a company will allocate its resources 30% to personnel, 30% to capital, and 40% to operating. Now, we are arguing in this slide, slide number 4, where we say that this number of people, where we say we've got 5 professionals, 1 reserve, 2 reserve force, and so on, and a total number of 2,411, this is actually even below industry standards. Then,
after having discussed that slide,
there was a question on the slide where you said that where we put that the DoD capacity requirement, that is slide number 5. There we are saying that for us to be able to take this job from Public Works and do everything, this is the additional requirement which we need to get in terms of human resource budget. And then, of course, Secretary for Defense, in his summary, that is the slide which was printed here, he has given you the total budget which we require to be able to cover, one, the lease reduction program, which we say that it has increased to 680 million by this year, and it is going further. In order to reduce that, the budget which Secretary for Defense has mentioned, it is going to be giving us the HR requirement, it will be giving us the operating and the capital budget which we require. So I thought that that is what I need to address. Then of course, the other one, it is the logistics slide, which will say that the additional logistical assets which will require in terms of vehicle, response vehicles, and so on. So at that point, I think I have answered the question relating to the HR allocation. I need to mention that I'm talking HR relative to defense work formation, not to the entire DoD.
That was
further
explanation.
My colleague from DPW, just to close everything, to say what are we doing now in terms of Bloemfontein intervention, because we have started work together there in Bloemfontein, he can also just give feedback on that one, the actual work which has already started at Bloemfontein.
Okay, just to also guide this one in particular, I'm first going to come as a question. Have you addressed leaking hospital roofs at 3 military hospitals? Lack of fencing around the DVET training area? Has DPW fixed the sewer sillage at Blue State? Sewer sillage. And that's
things in minutes, like yesterday. Okay, so I'm trying to also guide you.
Okay, let me start with the questions about mentions that have been raised by the DG that asked us to deal with. I have the head of project for the public works, as well as head of project in Bloemfontein. They can give further details in terms of the work that we've done there. On the sewage facilities, let me indicate that ordinarily sewage and water treatment plants are supplied by municipalities, but for specialized army and DPS facilities, public works offer that service. So we have looked at all of the sewage facilities across the country, and including this one, we've got a plan, but it's not only a maintenance plan as in ongoing maintenance. It is a capital project that needs to raise and raise the funding for. That's the reason it's still not addressed, but it's in the list of all the sewage plants and water treatment plants that we've identified for refurbishment. So this is our responsibility. And I think honorable member indicated that we need to spend 80% of our budget on maintenance. Actually, the story is even much bigger than that. I think the issue, I think the devil's public infrastructure and ourselves is the fact that we create assets and we build assets. However, the asset lifecycle cost related to both maintenance and capital refurbishment is never fully quantified, fully budgeted and allocated. So we actually have facilities that we build at great cost to the state, but in the absence of quantifying the ongoing cost, so that's where we fall short. And especially post-1994, where there's been an expansion of new facilities to newly serviced areas, the issue of life cycle cost is a big issue. In fact, the sense is that for every 15% in terms of capital cost that you put down, you must budget 85% in terms of asset life cycle cost. And that's where we fall short. And this is the thing I think you are the committee dealing with appropriation. That's the conversation that I think we need to have. Because in the absence of that, we actually build to distract because we are not having an ongoing maintenance.
Can you please repeat that? So that is very clearly indeed as a recommendation as you close the application. Can you please?
I don't have to repeat the whole thing, but I think the point I'm trying to make is that in asset creation, we have focused more on the initial capital cost. What we have not done properly is look at the life cycle cost. And this is where maintenance becomes a problem. So, and I'm saying in the newly constructed, when we build new police stations, new schools, the new infrastructure, we focus on budgeting the capital. But what we have not quantified is what is the life cycle cost and where is it budgeted and allocated. And the issue is the life cycle cost, 50% is capital, 85% is life cycle cost. So if you don't quantify that 85%, you build destruct. And I think in the next administration, those are the kind of conversations we need to have. That's why across infrastructure, public infrastructure, the issue of the health of the infrastructure is becoming an issue. And then we're going to have to deal with that in terms of the state capacity to continue to provide services. But that's a conversation that this committee will have to actually engage in, because it's got great issues to the fiscal union. So that's what I wanted to, and I think, I mean, in the same manner as we transfer these functions to defense, it is not only about just what is the value of the asset, it is what is the life cycle cost and will defense continue to be able to support in terms of asset management. So those are the kind of conversations that I think we'll continue to deal with. And I think just maybe to conclude the point that our minister on this point is, has hosted a cabinet memo on the issue of maintenance, also to raise these issues because they impact on our ability to service our client. And it's something that I think we continue to deal with. Okay, I think in summary, and I think my colleagues can give details now, to give the issues of Bloemfontein. Post the meetings that we had joint teams going to the Bloemfontein facilities to do condition assessment, further condition assessment. Out of that, projects have been raised. We have a list of projects that we already have started the execution, starting with design, procurement, and so forth. And we've quantified what we require. And I think what we'll do is to package this report and send it to the chair, because we've got all of the projects that have already been identified, quantified, those which are funded, those which are not funded, which we'll be looking for funding in subsequent years. But we'll package that and send it to the chair. Chair, I think that's the only issue that I wanted to respond to. Thanks.
I know you were very busy for the last time, thank you, because it was important to see that we have time to train for the meeting and to work with the government. One of the priorities for the next administration. You were not specific. You were not specific. Let them ask you, okay. Follow-up questions? Do you have any follow-up questions, if I may be allowed? I think on this one, yes, you spoke about life study costs, yes? And we are happy, you know what, our happiness here is right from now that now something is happening, yes? Because when we came into the space, there was nothing happening, DG, from what we saw. You can engage us over time, but from what we saw, there was nothing happening. All right, but now something is happening. And you say, in terms of the life cost, you looked at all the military hospitals in the country, right? But our specific question now, which we agreed upon in the previous meeting, was in terms of your short-term engage or intervention, we want this done because we just could not believe that the hospitals that were leaking and people in leaking hospital wards. So that's what I'm talking about. When I say specific, this is what I'm talking about. Yes, thank you for the other way, but now, this is the specific that we want you to respond to, and you have not responded to it. Just spoke about life cycle costs. When we're talking about maintenance of that hospital, the military hospital, three military hospitals, and then I said lack of fencing around doing that training, because we said, this was something that needed your immediate attention, because we thought the assets, government assets that are lying in those facilities are not protected and they can be stolen. And then if they steal, then it means government is going to spend even more budget buying those things. So protection of those assets, guns and all those things, which we thought poses the country into a high security risk. So these are the things. And then the sewer spillage at Bloemfontein that we saw. So meaning that your intervention starts from Bloemfontein and then you spread out. But this is what we saw when we did this, and this is why we are talking, because of that Bloemfontein. Start from Bloemfontein and then spread out. Yes, we want you to do everything, but start from where we were, where we put our feet, so that there's change. Yeah, okay. All right. Any other? Let's take all the follow-up questions, and then new questions are also be entered. This is what we think is supposed to. I know you wanted to make a question and I said you. No? Okay, yeah. Let me count the number of hands. So, Honorable Member Paulson, Honorable Member McLaughlin, Mr. Tawaza, Honorable Member Tugonyane, okay. All right, it will be the two. And then I will also count in. With
thank
your permission.
Whatever,
yeah, you may come in.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning. To the Department of Defense and Public Works, there are more we are more suits than uniforms here, I see. I saw some of your colleagues out there, very old, like the ANC government. I'm worried that we're under attack.
Forget about ANC government. The focus of
Russia is before I want us to be in a position to go and assist Venezuela when they need us, but unfortunately, it doesn't look like we're up for the job. On one of the slides, page 5, there's a breakdown of construction professionals and infrastructure development function support staff. So I'm just wanting to know, and the earlier presentation or earlier response to the question was that a lot of these maintenance functions are now being done in-house. And we've got 18,000 person, almost, was it 70 odd thousand person now. And 70 odd thousand person now. And I know this is not the responsibility of yours here, the decision that has to take Naya up, but we are not at war at any time. And I doubt we're ever going to go to war. And we are never going to need 70 odd thousand soldiers to go to war. So what does a soldier do when he's not training or after he's done his training? Is he able to pursue a profession within the Department of Defense, within the military, as far as being a construction professional, also assisting with maintenance of our facility? Because one of the issues I had there was the issue of land and who owns what and who owns everything, and we'll resolve that once we've revisited Section 25 of the Constitution. It will all be government land. Right, so you mustn't worry about that. You just have to make the argument as to why it should belong to you, why should deal with the nation. So I want to know, in terms of those soldiers, how are they applied outside of active military duty? You know, when the defense force, when I look at the people that are outside and ask myself, why aren't younger people making it into higher ranks? Why aren't you making the military attractive for young people? And I think, you know, and I would imagine that the military has many career paths that could be followed, okay? That would resolve a lot of the issues that we have in our communities. It would be nice to have young people from the Cape side join the military. Because what I also see now is that in terms of your capacity requirements and the money, there's been an increase of almost 10% from previous financial year. Right? So what is it? I mean, it's an increase of 10%, and even an increase of 2.5%, you know? So if it's salary-based, then these are for salary. They're going to get 10% salary increases. What is that? To increase someone's salary by 10%. What is the justification? Is it being lowly paid up to speed, or is it just across the board salary increase? Okay. Then we're all going to have to tighten our belts. It's tougher for some than for others. So I want to know what justifies the salary increase. Why is the military attracting, or the Department of Defense attracting younger people into its ranks, and what other opportunities exist there? Because if I think of 70 odd thousand people not at war with anyone, what do we do with them when they're not at war? Do we just pay them to go into that home or lay in barracks where they could be performing or be trained to perform much needed skills of maintaining this environment? I mean,
three military hospital, we can't use the top floor because the roof is leaking, so we use the floor below that, and it's ridiculous. And we've got people doing nothing, we're defending. We're not at war. Thank you, Jefferson.
Right, thank you very much.
Next, Honourable Member McCarthy. Thank you, Madam Chair. Just in relation to the question I was done, I don't recall having got a specific answer. When I asked whether the 1,300 new posts were going to be created at the Department of Defence were going to be sacrificed on government works. And same with the fact you had budgetary consideration. Whatever budget you need for the Department of Defence to take over the lease and this whole responsibility that goes with them, is that going to come out of public works budget? Because they presumably at the moment have the budget for that because it's their responsibility right now. If it's just a straight quid pro quo, would you sacrifice, Department of Public Works sacrifices staff and money, and part of the best day style, it is no problem with that. But if it is all additional to what's happening already, then I do have a problem, because we're just not in that place. We can't do these kind of things at the moment with our current financial constraints or the budgets that are there at the moment. And then, Madam Chair, just the Secretary of Defense mentioned the vulnerable situation and the Department of Defense Army's intervention there. Firstly, thank you for that. I've been there, I've inspected that facility, I've spoken to the colonel in charge. What concerned me was when I spoke to him, he said, this has been done by the Department of Defense and the Operation Fund. In other words, they weren't provided with any money from COLTA or anywhere else, and that money was running out fast. But they no longer had the money, and yet the job was nowhere near done. He said at the time that there were discussions going on with the president to try and find some other way of funding. It's an essential thing. Water in this country is a major issue. And at the moment we've got millions of gallons of sewage pouring into the Vaal River, which is disgusting. And yet the work that the department is doing there is very valuable work. And one of the problems they have as well is every time they complete refurbishing a pump station, they've got to place guards there. Because the local population comes and vandalizes and steals things. They're their own worst enemies in that sense. What are your plans, if you can tell me, going forward on this? Is it going to continue? Or is the army just going to pull out again and then those poor citizens of Infilemia are left stranded again for a constrained wastewater sewage system? Because it stops all the development in South Delta. You can't build a new hotel, you can't build a new shopping center, there's no sewage capacity. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Now, on the response by General Lidwaba, it's a follow-up. We talk about a holistic approach on maintenance and repair. We thought that was the status quo. That was the situation. It's supposed to be like that. You're going to have a holistic plan. Because I think from experience, we now know after 5 years, any building, not even building, this is what I've discovered, even your own furniture in your own house, after 5 years, I promise you, it does dilapidate. So you've got to, so your plan should be based on that. People are experienced with this. they will help you, they will say, life cycle costing. So you should. But my understanding is that in terms of any infrastructure budget, you are expected to divide it between maintenance and, so you will not have an additional new budget for maintenance. In terms of your plan, you will be able to, say 5 years, then 5 years, then from the own infrastructure budget, you will then separate it between whatever and maintenance, refurbishment. So, in its common knowledge, not like things that we have discovered. Now that we have been negligent, let's agree, there's been dereliction of duty. But now, all we're saying is to sensitize you, to say this doesn't work. It's even costing government a lot if we don't do what is correct. It's costly. Now, also just to remind you, especially the DG Secretary, you know about the new power given to the AG. There's trouble coming if you don't do things right. Well, these things you know. They have always been there, but for sending memorial in administration, in infrastructure management, in contract management, they've been there, so that we've not been implementing. But now, all we're saying, please, let's do the right thing so that we save government money, and then money goes for service delivery. Actual service delivery. We make good progress in service delivery. So, contract management, internal capacity, the reason why we said there must be this function shift, we were banking on this internal capacity and hoping that we'll be able to do more with the money that we have, with less, more with less. But if we are to go the contract outsourcing way, actually has always been costly. It has always been costly. But here we thought we would then be able to assist, by using internal capacity. Okay? And only remember, is there anything you want to add? No. Okay. And then the sewer spillage in the military facility, we still are going to respond on that one, especially the front. And this question we're asking from public work, because public work promised that they will be able to do it immediately. Because they came here with a plan which was not public. Talk to intervention on sewer spillage in other outer years, because it cannot happen. So let us go and revise your plan and give us a new plan, short term and medium term, responding to the needs on the ground. Okay, the other question that I want to ask is the committee in our engagement complained about the inclusion of contractor performance empowerment of leading black companies and the upholding of standards. Now, what I want to find out from Department of Public Works, as you intervene now immediately, have you been able to look at these issues? We have said it cannot be correct that if the military facilities would bring any big town in here, because we said that would bring security in that space. And from what we saw that it was just anybody, for this new term that you said, anybody goes in there. That's why we found a lot of holes having been digged and left open. And we asked, what are these holes this for? Said those public works. And I said, no, can't do it like that. I'm sure you went there, I'm sure you saw the crisis that we saw. A lot of holes, but. And we were so scared. We thought maybe something would come out of these holes. But fine, I'm sure you went there. We already said go there so that you can align, so there can be alignment of thinking. On the increase of staff, the response that I also did there. You see, presently, we need to move with the time. The Department of National Treasury, and let me say government, have identified a serious wage bill program. So we can't say when there's a problem, you aggravate that problem. That should be the thinking. But that's the correct thinking. So there's a wage bill problem. So you can't then say you want to increase this problem. Any movement should be to reduce the problem or manage the problem, but you can't aggravate. Now, what are we saying? Are you then able to go back and look at your existing staff or human resources? Assess them. And then look at realignment of those staff, the staff, the personnel, so that they're able to do the work. So meaning that you find solution from within instead of wanting to add more people. Because from what I know in administration, you find that people are employed. But you find that they're inside there, they're earning money there, and they're not gainfully employed. So this is what I'm talking about. You assess them, make sure that they are gainfully, align them, you know, with them, you know, and realign. But also, there's this thing called, if they are inside and they don't know, there's this thing called on-the-job training. Are you able to do that on-the-job training to try and solve the problem? Can you say, find the solution within, instead of going to invite more, you know, or increasing the personnel? From within, the people that you might find that they're not gainfully employed. But that's trouble, and, but in terms of work, there's nothing that they're doing, and they're ending at the end of the day. So those are things that we think that we should also be able to do that. All right, over to you. Okay, one more about Tobaza.
Chair, I want to make two proposals, and then when you can comment, the first proposal is that I think this committee is the whole Department of Transformation should meet and recall the personal budget issue. Because I think it can be resolved. With the kind of proposal that we had have been put on the table already. And of course, issues of where do you get the funds to then address personnel that is redeployed to other departments. The matter that can be dealt with. I mean, there have been special appropriations made in the past, and in this instance, this one serves us well. We've done it for SOEs, why don't we do it for the department? And save 6,000 jobs. But in saving 6,000 jobs, you also be end the money at the same time. So to be fair, you'll be opening up space for what Honorable Paul Tim was raising. Unfortunately, youth employment. Because I also know, at least this committee knows, that part of the challenge you have is at some point you will have personnel that can no longer be deployed into critical areas like peacekeeping in the African continent, and therefore you need a solution for that. And the solution is not necessarily tragic people, but rather to redeploy them to strategic areas of work with other departments and so on. So, the same proposal, National Treasury, and Defense, please make a proposal. It's positive proposal. And Parliament can endorse the resolution if you want, if that becomes necessary. The second proposal is that we would have liked, and we hope
with the spirit of this, we would invite the very specific report on, for instance, the repair and maintenance work that you are doing. The chairperson has raised the issue of treasures that were dug and then left. What have you done with that? The issue of the security fence, how far are you? With addressing that, because it's an HF matter and it's very critical. And you can't keep on being exposed to all sorts of dangers from both sides, internally. When simple things like security could jump up to a beach. The residences of the defense force members, repairs and all of that, very specific reports, progress reports there. The training facilities, how far are you with the repairs and maintenance therefore? And saw a helicopter, what you call it, the reception, all of that. So we are asking you to give us specific progress report on those things. I know that the issue of storage has been raised by Chaplin, but these are our things that we believe could form part of our report as part of this report. That's the chapter. This whole sense of security is rather dangerous. Unfortunately, it's one of the important great issues that we need. But it's of interest to me because there will always be need for combat readiness in the defense force, so long as peacekeeping is required in the African continent. An absolutely important task that you're carrying. Don't ever get tired of it. Absolutely. So combat readiness is very important. For our own sake, and for the sake of the continent, of democracies across the continent, for development, Of not just defending South Africa and its people, but the defense of the continent as well. There are forces out there, there are vultures out there. And you are our individual provider. Developing countries. May not predict war, but developed countries do predict war. They do predict war, and they do create war. And they don't suffer from those wars, those who predict those wars. It's the developing countries that suffer from those wars. We cannot decide to go here. Wait until we deal with that oil and gas thing that was discovered a few weeks ago. Then we know what I'm talking about. I know, I mean this conversation. Later.
So let's not behave that we can just remove the people from self-support and not bring them back in the homes when they are gone, with fishing, retirement, with employment, and so on. So, and get the young blood into the active again. Simply because we think they are safe. We're not. Don't take away money from the defense force because we think they are safe. We're not. And I'm saying to this court, that's not allowed. Thank you, Chair.
Just as a reminder to the money that was taken away, the budget cut due to underperformance. So there's punishment for underperformance. We all know that. This is we did let the department down there. And now, you know, that was very, the budget is not due to your negligence, the inexpensive understanding. So whatever, so all of us must guard whatever that we have to do and make use of it and everything. Because that money would have been budgeted in response to a plan. Failure to implement the plan then resulted in a budget cut. Alright. We will now head over to make those responses. TG, do you want to have a comment?
I think as I indicated, I think we have a list of all the projects. We can go through them in terms of where they are. Whomever can deal with the most urgent ones is Seward's here in terms of water sector. And maybe we should start there because that's the most urgent, the ones that you identified the most urgent. I think you should just give you status on that.
Because it's one of those items that should be dealt with within 24 hours. So we dealt with that on day-to-day maintenance. Now let me deal with the sewer village plus the trenches. During that time when you guys were there, there was a project, capital project, that was happening to renovate our sewer system, the whole sewer system at Bloomsbury. Hence you find those trenches, because they were busy in that project. That project gets completed in September last year, so we handed over now, completed the project, and we repaired. The reason they were not closed at that time, we hadn't, even though the sewer system underneath was working, but we hadn't made good the trenches. So we've done that now, so we've handed over completely regarding that project. And that's another thing that Mr. Marofa talked about regarding the sewer plant in the military. There in Bloomsbury, we had our own sewer plant, which was maintained by the West, but that project, that same project, was also connecting now. We were going to close our sewer system there in Air Force Base, because in that project, we also connected the sewer system to the municipality system, sewer system. So I hope I've answered that. Okay, then leaking roof now and pre-military hospital. There's a project that is planned at pre-military hospital. We have done, since then, we have done the design. Right now, we've already appointed the consultant, we've done the design. That project is got a planned tender date, which is when it's going to go out on tender, and that date is the Friday, 22 March, 2019.
What design? Roofing?
Yes.
leaking, it's leaking now, and we go, and how long does it take to come up with a design to move on an already existing hospital?
Remember, it's leaking now, there are patients sleeping there, we're still busy on a design.
We are putting...
We are done now. Tell something, but that tender is going, that project is going on tender on the 22nd of March.
It has taken abnormally long, ma'am, if you are sensitive to the needs of the people. I'm a social worker by profession. Maybe that also comes up when you think that it's wrong. The patient sleeping there, and it takes so many months to design a roof, and then you're still going to go on tender. But tender is a process. Supply chain management, there's a supply chain person here. It takes long. Also due to personal interest, it might take even longer. And then what happens to those patients? You have the right to help.
Yes.
Yes. And then you must know, we found that it has been leaking for a long time to a point where patients had to be removed to other wards. You see that period. And now, the period, design period, and then period for tender, because of no, you're not sensitive. I think someone must be responsive to the needs of the people. This one is like a disaster. You can't wait for, you know, many, but without violating procedure. And the PFMA does provide for emergency. Yeah, the PFMA does. So I'm trying to say, Sisi, it cannot be justified. I think we need to act with great speed. DG, you are here. That was the speaking of the committee when we were there, when we came in. We now have three, we have had three meetings, still at the design stage. And Baba, tell us how, when are you going to put up the roof? Can you come in?
Yes.
Indeed, it appears on paper that the process was wrong. Chair, in pre-military hospital, we have a number of projects which we are running concurrently. One of the quick wins that we've put in place, where we're dealing with a hot water issue, is that we utilize our own in-house capacity of engineers. Instead of outsourcing,
Are you
representing the team? No.
Oh.
Utilizing our in-house capacity to do the design in order to fast-track that period that it may take to then procure. In short, what we're saying is, in some areas, we're able to intervene, depending on the skills that we have now, to be able to then do the work a bit quicker. In the case of the roof, yes, indeed, the designs are done, and we will ensure that the procurement processes are done within the required distance. It is not a big project. The value of it is under 2 million. So we don't anticipate to have any challenges.
No, I think we accept the extent and want to ensure that we assure the committee that we take the appropriate measures for the ground inspector issue. We take up the concerns that have been raised, and then we do have supply chain management who can also assist us. Ensure that we, within the law, we do these things very quickly. That we give that assurance. We know it's a second to run now. Then to contact the interview, we'll actually intervene. I think with the head of the PMC, we'll ensure that we are there for all of this money. Thank you much.
General, I saw your hand up. I don't know, both, are you both general?
This one is the bigger general than I may make a general statement.
You are?
Major General, can you tell Lieutenant General?
Lieutenant General. Yeah. Lieutenant General, do you want to come in? I know you haven't said anything, but I thought you wanted to respond.
No, let me give it to you.
Major General.
I don't know, but I think you have captured the issues of the supply chain, which we wanted to say ourselves from ourselves that those are some of the issues which were frustrating us. And if the public was effectively given answers to some of the questions and the concerns, so we'll then look at that one. But I don't think that I need to belabor the point.
Other responses? Honorable Member McLaughlin, I know you wanted to say something.
I just want to ask a question. As far as I understand, within the Army, you have the engineers, the staffers, you have technical services, the techies. Can't those guys just be deployed on an emergency kind of basis? When there's a roofing leak in a hospital, don't do a temporary repair, fix it for them while the whole planning and process goes on. Can't you do that? Because there's only stops you do that.
Also, we heard about an internal arrangement where you have started maintaining some of these things, the smaller than a thing. So maybe in terms of that internal arrangement, you could also use the existing capacity. Just to, you know, to deal with the roof.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair. We will attend to that. I think that example of the military hospital is also another example of some kinds of progress that we get done with the military service. As has been indicated, remember, we had issues of pressure that we needed to move from one to another. So that becomes a while we can have our engineers to move in the same system, we have to engage the parents with them, the public services, the engagement, how the parliament goes. So, but I think we take note of that and we generally do that, that you take in certain cases, we should be more flexible than that and to work for the longer processes when we can actually do each other. Also, other questions that have been raised, maybe starting with the one that was raised by Honorable Mark Lockley earlier on about the quality of the system. I thought that this was a very important question, although it's not on the agenda for today, but it's definitely the mandate of the appropriations committee. Because when we, the issues that were held, we need the budget that we have. All our intervention, I'm told the intervention is valued at 250 million rand in the first time by the private sector, but we have done it at 6 million rand. Although maybe that's another situation for the government to service, but just the long term benefits, but just the salaries as well as the people that we have still deployed there, the minimum of up to 6 to 7 million. I've run out of the budget. I'm challenged about continuing. Yes, there's some treasure is there, I'm coordinating all of us, but there's still some discussions and debates in this association whether the money numbers come from the COFTA or the local spot. The local spot are saying, I don't have any funds, and that's why we have been having this problem. So, when I approached the DG, they said, I don't know, hold on, Dr. Dari, I'm managing this situation. So I think we can assure the Honourable there that Honourable has been there also to do this. And I think the contribution that going, there's no doubt that the contribution that the defense force is making, that is saving a lot of the evidence, just shows what we can do. And so talk now as a government, when we all start putting our heads together to address the problem, which I think is exactly the issue that was raised by Honorable Chabaza has on. If we talk about the wage bill, and you have this personnel, and personnel power sitting at the front of the bank, what can it do? What can we do? First of all, the people that are highly trained, they have a security risk in the country, one or another, because of what you've done. But an ISIS soldier is known, the dangerous soldiers out there in the streets doing nothing. And secondly, we still have porous borders that need to be protected. We still have peacekeeping operations. Talk to oil and gas discovery. The Navy is challenged. The patrol to protect our fisheries as of today. How much more now when we have such major resources, to protect? How is this budget going to protect? How can the country talk about protecting investment when at the same time we are saying that the security of the country should be compromised by such a system all of them? Because I was talking about that kind of, as the government, they haven't spent a lot of money paying private companies to protect government people all over the country. I'm talking just about, I'm looking at the money. The money is there, being paid to private companies. But even the police stations in time, they just say, after we have stopped private people to protect military bases, that's one of the but it's true that sometimes that you come up in the bed and find out that you have been taken. What happened is the police of the department say, we will protect our own facilities and environment. But when you then, but what do you, where we're sitting is very difficult for us to move when we need to move, but where you are sitting, I don't know, you are in better position to say, why don't we have this proposal to do ABC so that the people can take care of this, we can take care of this. We can only make suggestions as officials and make proposals for the members to move us. I think that's quite I hear that Honorable Paulson raised questions and that, but I'm told that he does need the task is somewhat of the question is referring to, first of all, I think Honorable has already talked to the false sense of security. I don't have to go back to that information. But also there's a question of why don't we make the transport attractive to the young people? I wanted to say we did exactly that last week. We had an armed forces day. We were here. We were hosted by the province of Western Cape and the city of Cape Town, and we were focusing mostly on the young people. We had a whole week of fanfare in parliament townships to set up across Cape Town, where we were attracting the young people. And join the defense. Of course, they were elected in small cities, but most of the forces were repeated, especially for the target audience that we had in the young people. They were very much interested. We are getting a lot of inquiries at the high schools and so on, to say we have so many children, even from the Cape Flats, because we did have an event today in the Cape Flats and what can we join the defense? And that's what the defense force is there for. It's an asset for this country. Really a major asset for the country. He was asking what do the soldiers do when they are not in training or in deployment and stuff. The issue that we do have a say that you can be anything you want to be in the defense force. You want to be a doctor, you want to be a nurse, you want to be a social worker, you want to be a lawyer, you want to be an accountant, you want to the only problem I have is that too many of them want to be lawyers.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think I've noted what the Secretary for Defense has said, but just to reassure the committee, National Treasury is part of a technical team dealing with the whole funding issue. Money, Secretary for Defense, around your deployment within the FAL may have not yet found its way within the system, but that issue within Treasury is being addressed. We are aware about it. We are discussing with those responsible departments, like the Department of Water, COPTA, the municipalities itself, Housing, Provincial Treasury, so there's a whole testing, but the whole funding arrangement around the intervention of the FAR is being sorted out with the Treasury.
All that, the effort that we put is time-consuming.
Yes.
And it's intervention. Because you can take a long time, a wasting administration. Today's administrators, they think they have the last amount of time. We don't have. The people out there are suffering. So I think that when we adopted the principle of contributing, I think we were referring to this people. You know, moving in timelessly so that people can enjoy a better life. You see, this government has promised people a better life, and that better life is going to come through you. So if you can't help this government, you know, what do you want this government to do? So that's what I'm saying. And there's legislation all over the Constitution. And there's a chapter in the Constitution that talks to administration. Chinese intervention, accurate information. You know, there is a whole chapter in the Supreme Law of this country. So all that we're trying to prick your conscience so that, you know, at least you must have the conscience and move faster than you think. You know, we don't have that time. DG, we don't have. And you have a challenge of the Auditor General, who, if you don't add on time, you're going to court. You need to be reminded. The Secretary,
this Mudo, and I'm sure
I'm
you don't want to be a perfect example, you know? Okay. Now, I know that the only issue that we haven't touched on at this military facility in Kosovo is the housing for the soldiers. The housing was big. What we saw that we had seen in the US of time. I mean, when you see the soldiers, well, they come and they're clean. Then what we saw, there is a housing for them. Yo, really shocked us. We think they deserve a better life too at the facility. So I don't know if there's a plan of going in there just to renovate those houses for them, because you also got married people. And you've got senior personnel that is going to be separated from junior personnel. Now the situation there is such that everybody has been put together. There's no more a line that is drawn between the senior and the junior. Does it make sense? Tell us, hey, DJ, what is so bad? You must go there. When does everything end? You must go there. Okay, thank you very much. It does look like we've come to the end of the process, all the questions, am I right? Exhausted?
I'd like to give the two DGs their final statement as a commitment to all those people that we have. I'm sure you've brought people who've taken all those notes for you, am I right? Yeah. And then there are those commitments of reports that must come back to us. Ne? I'm sure you know that we don't have a lot of time here. Ne? But guess what? We believe that the thing that many times we can see. That's the thinking. Up to the 11th hour. That's how we think. And I'm sure that's how I was brought up. Up to the 11th hour, you can still deliver. So don't block yourself by saying, there's no... No. That's why you must run even much faster now, because you've got limited time that you have to go. So now all those reports that you have promised us, okay? I want Mr. Tovaz, can you keep those reports loud so that I can then put time frame to those reports? We still going to deliver those reports before we exit. That's how determined and serious to take our way. I'm sure you will learn something from us. Serious. Take yourself serious, take your work serious. That's what we do. And we also take cognizance of that we don't have time. And it's not about us, but for those people that we are servicing. It's about making sure that this government indeed delivers a better life to our people. Okay, yes. The reports that need to come back?
Progress report on the extent of your engagement. Already the hospital has been mentioned, and we have started asking for speeded up action there. There is any other areas for the soldier, training facilities, the helicopter, helipad B, security plan, all of them. Please give us a corporate report, because we think that some work needed to be done between August last year and February this year. So give us a one, two. Defense and National Treasury portal that issue the personal the wage bill and the personal and all of those.
Administration,
yes. Agencies before the Secretary for Defense is forced to return to which we don't like. Parliament will not be pleased with any return. So,
meet quite urgently and solve it. Yeah. I think those
and
are
the
two.
Smart then on the function sheet. Smart then.
Also, yeah, as we are arranging the public service and administration consultation process, there was an indication that there are certain things that don't need necessitating amendments and so on. So, that, and it sounded like certain things can be done. So let's get a report of what it is that can be done without necessarily going through the legislative processes, and tell us what it is that should wait for legislative processes that must go through the Department of Public Works and public administration, service and administration, as to go up to the end of the major appointments and because we thought you would have met with them already by now, but as you are saying, between the two of you and the people of you, there are certain things that you can do without necessarily making amendments of either primary legislation or something. So update us about all of that and then follow through. I did say that late in the day for this parliament, certain things will be taken on by the this parliament, but this committee must write a bigger report and project on what needs to be taken on in the parliament. This is one of those things that this issue we're discussing here is one of those that must indicate what still needs to be done going forward in this parliament. Thank you.
I will then again meet the DG and the Secretary of Defense their time to give us the closing statement. And the future. We might not meet today, but the report will be today. The handover report will be closed this week. So it will not. So this report, if I never started that report, you see why we pushed. I know there was a view that you went to. But no, no, the work that we're trying to do here, chapters, we can't just leave work hanging. So, but thank you so much for responding. So this was the next report. She should be given later to report the end. Thank you very much. Over to you, DG Secretary.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson and honorable members. First of all, to apologize to the committee that we did not submit our report for this meeting and for the time as mentioned earlier. I will look into it in terms of the working of the relationship and working of the committee that is in our department. Avoid this one of the challenges because we do take the work of this committee very seriously as a department. We then commit ourselves to number one, a written report on the group on maintenance repairs, group on DOT facilities, maintenance repairs, and upgrades. Number two, commit ourselves to submission of a documentation plan for the transfer of functions from DOD and from TPW to DOD with the conference of the TPC. Number three, commit ourselves then to submit to this committee the plan for resolving the 3.2 billion rand shortfall on the cost of employees for DOD 2018-2019 financial year.
Thanks, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. We do also commit that we will submit to these reports, which are going to go as a joint report from our team. And then our meeting with the DPSA should happen as urgent as possible, and we'll ensure that on areas that the committee has raised, we'll expedite them because we have realized the delays that have taken place. And we appreciate the manner in which the committee has raised these issues. We are taking them seriously. Thank you very much.
Okay. Just to say that procrastination is a thief of time. I know we struggled to get the report from Public Works because they were still working on this from our previous meeting. We struggled. And we were not happy with that because I thought we were moving from the same lane in terms of the agency of the matter at hand. So the time frame that I'm giving everybody is 2 weeks. We will still be here. But we leave it now in the report. 2 weeks. This one is non-negotiable. We are also working hard on that. Okay. All right, from our side, I must thank the honorable members for their full participation and quality in questions and relevant questions to the presentation by the joint task team. I'd also like to thank the department present today for the constructive engagement around the devolution of the infrastructure development, maintenance function, but also these other matters that we have said we need to fast track so that come end of this term, they are on the table for the next term, for further implementation by the next administration. Well, it was very critical for the committee to have this meeting with a view to follow up on the commitments made during and after the oversight visit, where a number of challenges were identified. Having received the progress report on the devolution of function, maintenance and repair function, but because it was specific on that, because then the construction, I don't remember talking about construction, but I did say it's a progressive move and progressive thinking. We will be happy if that can be implemented. We support. We certainly hope that this will assist to better turn the situation around once the process is finalized. We have noted the budget shortfall, but equally so, we have noted the under expenditure which has led to budget cuts. The work must be expedited to streamline and realign the cost of personnel and the available budget of compensation of employees. National Treasury has this principle of saying we've got to learn to do more with less. So let's try and implement that principle. We must always spend our budget effectively and efficiently, and we have learned that when work is done, for instance, the defense force by the using the internal facility. That's where we then get a clear illustration of cost using the budget in a cost-effective manner, but also efficiently so. And if you listen to the speech by the minister, his emphasis on budget expenditure is let's try and learn to be effective and efficient in our budget expenditure. Because that's where the problem is. We complain about money. There is money, but it's mixed. So that's why the emphasis on cost effectiveness and efficiency in the budget expenditure. You may also need to embark on the skills audit and skills development programs to ensure gainful employment of personnel instead of adding. You know, because my friend had to add, and also those that are adding might end up not being gainful employed. And then when you see people at the beachfront, it is because they don't have work to do.
whatever they're going to do. So we need to make sure that they have work, and they work and earn their salary. It's about earning. We also are earning our salary. So let's all learn to, you know, develop a work ethic, or the work ethic, and earn our salary. Keep it, let's ensure that you keep people you need, you keep people you need in the system as people who will make an impact in the system. It is critical for the National Treasury to continue to guide all the departments on matters related to funding, to make sure that any resource allocated is spent according to the approved plans and relevant systems. Also, there is a monitoring unit, if it can be strengthened in the National Treasury. Because there is a monitoring unit, but also there is a monitoring and evaluation unit within the department. We're not sure whether presently they are in. Gainfully and used, because I mean the city is going to have these units, and they get their money. They can, we have monitoring and evaluation units. That's got a very important role to play in making sure that the government delivers within the hidden checklist and the budget is used for what it's budgeted for. And we also got internal audit units, and we also got those internal control systems of the PFLA. But we still suffer unauthorized expenditure, irregular expenditure, wasteful or fruitless expenditure. Alright? But I'm sure moving forward, all these will be under control, because we now have got the auditor general. So Mr. Visionary wants to work. So all our members, while we may not be able to exhaust all the issues as a sixth parliament with these departments, but I certainly believe that the sixth parliament will be able to follow up on some of the outstanding issues, including these ones, as part of the legacy report for this committee. The issues around the creation of capacity, development of the organizational structure, your engagement with the Department of the Public Service and Administration are some of the issues that should be followed up by the Parliament. We would like to send Public Works, Public Service Administration, with the Department of National Treasury to work together, to come up with a collaboration strategy, work in collaboration with one another, to make sure that the entire function shift process is done smoothly without compromising the maintenance of infrastructure, maintenance and repairs of infrastructure. And all the issues emanating from the committee oversight visit are addressed urgently. Why we keep saying this? Because we have trouble with money that was lost. We spend time with steps in hotels with money that was lost. I think that's the thinking that we must own. There's money that was here. We call to hear there's money that was here. So our emphasis is value for money. That's why we really want an impact, because we are obsessed with value for money. Following the money and then value for money. I must congratulate the TAP team for the progress made. You will all agree with me. Before, our engagement and our intervention, it was quiet. Am I wrong, Mr. Mahmoud? It was quiet. No one did anything. But since that time, we all woke up from our sleep. Even ourselves, because we got a shock. We said, hey, we can't sleep. Even now, we must finish this work. So I'm very happy. We are very happy with the progress made. And we will keep up the good way. And we still need, it's progress, but we need, it's not good enough. There's still work that is going to be done. So this progress is good. Please don't be complacent, the things will not come back. You never know. You never know. So don't be complacent. Please work out the good way. And don't think about that anyway. Think about the people who are supposed to benefit from the service, from your service. Yeah? Because we did commit to people. All right, thank you very much. the meeting between ourselves, sent by James. I know we left in 15 minutes. Just one announcement to members. Members, we have got a few minutes, to consider and adopt. About two sets of minutes. So I really would like us to use the questions, the remaining 15 minutes, just looking at the process and finish. We're not going to leave any unfinished business around. The pushing, that was pushing.